This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Renee Montaigne is on vacation. I'm Steve Inskeep. Judi Dench has won all the big acting awards, the Oscar, the Tony, 6 Oliviers. That's England's top theatrical honor. The British actress got another award recently from the Shakespeare Theater here in Washington. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg went to watch Judi Dench as she met with students at the theater's academy.
I'm not good at just saying things, so please, if there's anything I can answer, or I think I can answer, please just ask me.
Dame Judi, just call me Judi, she says. Dame Judi Dench is 69 years old and tiny, 5'1¾", which makes her elfin tiny, except she is too majestic for elfin. Judi Dench sat comfily in her tan pantsuit and told backstage stories collected over 50 years.
I never left the wings of the Ovic, ever. I was there from 1957 to the end of 1961, and I never, ever went to my dressing room. I used to stand at the stage and watch all the time. Because only from that, you know, do you learn.
Here's how one of the world's greatest actresses warms up before a performance.
I do all those articulate, you know, all that.
Judi Dench has before playing most of Shakespeare's great women on stage. On television, she's done some 68 episodes of the BBC series As Time Goes By. And on screen, she's been M, the head of the British Secret Intelligence Service, in 4 James Bond films. She's also something of an expert on acting regal. Dench played Queen Victoria, a.k.a. Mrs. Brown, in that 1997 movie, and won her Oscar as Queen Elizabeth in Shakespeare in Love. Judi Dench told the acting students about meeting today's Queen Elizabeth in 1988 when she was named Dame Commander of the British Empire.
And so when I went up to see the Queen, she said to me, I did admire your tapestry at the Ideal Hair Exhibition. So I thought, now is this like
I wonder if you were aware that you sat up straighter when you spoke.
Did I? And imitated her. So to be a queen, Judi Dench, what does it take? Does it start with the posture, with the...
No. Like any part, the kind of person that character is informs the way you move or the way you... I mean, if you're going to play the Countess of Rossillon in All's Well, you are actually put, as I was, in an Elizabethan costume that makes you stand in a way with a ruff round, so your head is also supported, so it informs the way she moves.
When you were Queen Elizabeth I in Shakespeare in Love, you had that corset, you had that high ruff, and you had 8 minutes on the screen and won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
I've seen you. You are the one who comes to all the plays at Whitehall, at Richmond.
Your Majesty.
What do you love so much?
Your Majesty.
Speak up, girl. I know who I am.
I approach it in exactly the same way as I've approached every single part I've ever played. Try and absorb what you know about that character. Know that she was a monarch for so long, that she was frightened of marriage. Know that she was so feared. And then somehow try to distill it.
Do you love stories of kings and queens, of feats of arms, or is it courtly love?
I love theatre. To have stories acted for me by a company of fellows is indeed...
They're not acted for you, they're acted for me.
That's the point at which, with Shakespeare in Love, that despite your long and highly honored career in theatre in England, I think that's the point at which America came to know Judi Dench. It's something about the power of that huge screen. And I wonder what difference that's made to your career or to you personally, the fact that this enormous continent is there too.
Many people said to me, apart from As Time Goes By and Mrs. Brown and M in the Bond films, have you done anything else? So you think, yes, in the interim, I've spent 38 years doing...
But isn't that annoying? Come
no,
on,
no,
you've
it,
had
no,
an incredible career.
No, it wasn't annoying at all. It was as exciting as it is to find that I have a great fan base of 11-year-old boys who think that M is the coolest thing on legs. You know, it's doing something different. It's appealing to another audience. And I think if those young men who love James Bond and think you're very cool as M, and my grandson's going to be 7... And I see that his school friends are suddenly allowed to see Bond and suddenly think, good God, it's Sam's grandma, you know. They might go to the theatre later. they might go and want to see more things.
As Time Goes By is my favorite Saturday night date here in Washington, D.C. You must remember this. There's no greater pleasure than to sit down and watch that series.
It's been going on for a long time.
And between you and Jeffrey Palmer, a grown-up love.
Yes.
This slowing down, joints clicking, seems to happen earlier with men. There's another thing. Could I protect you?
Protect me?
Yes.
Who from?
Well, I don't know, an attacker.
I don't know what that means. This attack isn't imminent, is it?
No, of course not. I was just supposing.
What's the matter with you?
It's all the things I can't do anymore, all the things we can't do anymore.
Oh, you make it sound as if our relationship is based on one long series of athletic events.
It's a working relationship, and that's the most exciting thing of all. Whether you're with Jeffrey, or whether you're with Ian McKellen, or whether you're with Kevin Spacey, or whether you're with, you know, Maggie Smith, or whoever.
What did you do? What was it you did with Anthony Hopkins? And it was just the two of you, and so you asked the director for permission not to block every move in the scene.
That was certain scenes in Anthony and Cleopatra at the National. You know, the chemistry between Anthony and Cleopatra is very, very, very volatile. And the fear that you have anyway in playing great parts that people have played before is considerable. Huge long parts, hers much longer than his. She goes into the whole of the fifth act without him. And on the monuments, you know, he was dying, he used to say to me, I'm going for a lovely sit-down and a cup of tea. And I said, and I am doing the whole of the fifth act.
This was on stage.
Yes, very quietly. Yes, very, very sotto voce. But Tony is really a creature of instinct, and I am a creature of instinct. And so, therefore, you didn't quite ever know where the other person was coming from. And that was a lively and dangerous.
Especially when you're doing something night after night after night. It keeps you on your pulse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You are a Quaker.
Yes.
How does that inform your work, do you think?
Oh, it informs my life, and therefore my work.
I imagine that the silence that you practice as a Quaker would give tremendous strength in a particular way to the acting.
I just think everything it informs. I mean, I'm not a person who is easy with my own company, having long days on my own. That's not my scene at all. But it helps if you somehow can achieve a still center for part of it.
It's interesting, though, because just thinking about the work, Quakerism is so much about community and consensus and the idea of an actor coming out of that to say, me, me, me.
Yes, but do we say me, me, me? I don't think we do. I think that's not what we do. I think we say us, 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 to you, you, you. This is a story that we're telling. This is my part in it. This, on the other hand, is his part in it. Her part in it. His, his, his. So then you comprise a whole.
Dame Judi Dench. She says since becoming Dame Commander of the British Empire in 1988, she has gotten no more respect, but, quote, I just have to behave better now. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
You can find photos, film clips, and more on Judi Dench's acting career at npr.org.